State did, and Penn State wasn't taken. Ohio State was, and this year Alabama wasn't even in their the SEC championship. I know this is old news, but they were able to get in. For me, being an Alabama fan, and it's not just because I'm an Alabama fan. I think deservingly so. They deserve to be in with one loss, even though they didn't play in the conference championship. I believe the way they ended up, they deserve to be in. Now, if Auburn had been sitting there, you know, without that making them three losses, then you got a whole nother ball game. If Auburn beat LSU, which
what has happened with the system they got run in my opinion, and it's just my opinion, and I've got this for one of the questions for the conference championships is no longer a value. It is now a punishment game.
Can be.
Because do you think there is a chance in Hades that Georgia would have been taken if they had lost that SEC championship? No. They couldn't have moved up on a loss.
Right.
All right. Wisconsin loses their championship, and they're out of it.
Yeah.
Alabama don't play in the championship, and yet they're in. So Auburn, Georgia, Wisconsin, all three there were punished by playing in the SEC or the championship.
For me and you, I think it's simply, I think it's this. When this thing was established, is the bottom line simple criteria going to be, we're going to put the four best teams in it, period? Or are we going to give more weight to a conference winner, whether our opinion is they're not as good as someone who did not play, you know, in a conference championship.
Now, what happens in this circumstance? Say next year you have it play out just like it did this year.
Yeah.
We're sitting looking at the same thing, and Auburn says, you know, last year we played and got beat. We're going to turn down the SEC championship and not play that game so we can be in the playoffs. I mean, I know that's not going to happen.
Yeah, right.
Because there'll probably be all kind of fines levied and all that stuff. But what if somebody declined to play in the conference championship, afraid they would lose that game and knock them out of the national playoffs?
Yeah. I mean, there's so many scenarios, you know, and everybody being in
any shape. In fact, it makes it more interesting and more stuff to talk about. But
if the criteria, Jason, and I know this has been talked about, and we're going to continue to talk about it, but if the simple, basic, final, black, bold print criteria is the best four teams, and that's all we heard, we're going to put the best four teams, then I don't think there's really much of an argument that you can't put Alabama in as one of the four best teams for no other reason. And when Chris comes on, he can share with us, Alabama has the – they are the overall favorite, or they were, to win the national championship. So how could you keep – and I know those people, the folks in Las Vegas, have nothing or should have nothing to do with the committee, but how could you keep the team out that is the odds-on favorite to win the national championship?
But then, again, why play in the conference championship?
I agree. Here's what I like the idea of, doing away with the conference championships. Each conference come up with their way to determine their conference winner without that championship game. And then you take that championship game and move it the first round of the playoffs. And you're still down to two games.
That's not ever going to happen.
No, it's not. But
it's too much money.
I agree. But it still makes, because if they want to scream the argument, well, you know, the kids are playing too many games, you do away with that conference championship game. And
why is it just Division One? I mean, why? There's other divisions that's got 24 teams in their playoffs playing football. So.
Right. But I don't have a question. You're right.
Why not
and
take
I agree with you.
Conference winners and say go to eight. Three at large.
That's exactly. I'm with you. I got. And then you don't play that conference championship game, and that game that you would have played becomes the first round of the 8-team playoff, and you have no more games involved. But you know, as I do, it's not going to happen because it's too much money.
No, it's not. While we got time running, any idea what's going on locally? I know Fairview's only. on a trail here of winning basketball games. I think Good Hope beat them a couple of weeks ago or a week ago.
That's right. You know, we've got quite a bit of basketball, you know, that's going on. If I can move away from the varsity, Jason, we've got middle school county tournament, that is going on this week. It started Monday down at Hansville, and it will conclude, you know, at the end of this week. Just some of the games have been
that'll line them up.
That's the end of it. That's the end of middle school. They always get out before the Christmas break. And if people don't know, at least for Coven County schools, tomorrow is the last official day of first semester school, December the 15th. All students are dismissed at 1 o'clock tomorrow on Friday. So with that being said, some of the scores are some of the teams that won. Vimont defeated Holly Pond. And this is boys. I'm just giving the scores I have. Cold Springs defeated Parkside. Hansville defeated Good Hope. Those are the scores that I have at this time. Those are boys' scores. So, but, the tournament is taking place at Hansville High, or Hansville Middle School. Or I guess they're probably playing in the high school gym. Not sure about that. But that's what's going on this week in basketball. Middle school county tournament. Varsity is going on. You're right. Some of the teams that's kind of been seemingly kind of been hot lately is Fairview Boys, Good Hope's Boys. On the girls side, I think you got
Fairview Girls.
You got Fairview Girls. I
don't know this to be a fact, but yeah. I'm 99% sure it's a fact. Fairview Cold Springs played Tuesday night, and I think the girls were 1 point away from hot clocking Cold Springs.
Wow. Is that
it? Never got it, but they were within 1 point.
I don't know that that's ever – I wonder if that's ever happened to Tammy.
I bet not.
You know, so –
If it did, it was probably in a big tournament somewhere where they were playing Parker or somebody.
Yeah. But, you know, hey, sometimes those things, you know, they just happen. You know, some nights you can't do anything wrong, and some nights the other club you can't do anything right, and that kind of stuff can happen. But I agree with Jason. I think – and this is nothing but my opinion, okay? And then I know we got to get Chris on here pretty quick. Again, my opinion in no particular order. If we're looking at varsity boys, I think the three teams, in my opinion, that maybe have separated themselves a little bit.
I've got my three in my head. I'm going to see if we match.
Okay, I'm going with Good Hope Boys, with Fairview Boys, and then I'm going to, I don't care what records are, it doesn't matter. I'm going to stick with Holly Pond. That's my three varsity boys choices today. That could change tomorrow, but that's where I am today. Right. Varsity boys.
I'm going Good Hope, Fairview, and West Point.
Okay. And I was tossed between West Point and Holly Pond. So, those are our picks, kind of who may be playing the best right now. On the girls' side of it, I'll give you three again. I'm going West Point. I'm going West Point. I'm going Fairview. And regardless of what happened the other night, I'm still going Cold Springs. Well, so that's my three girls.
So those three, but I'm going to go in a different order. I'm going to go.
I wasn't doing order. Okay. Just called them out. But
I'm going to go Fairview, West Point. No, Fairview, Cold Springs, West Point.
Okay.
Or Fairview, West Point, Cold Springs, or whatever order you want to put the other two
right in.
But I think Fairview right now probably. At least playing the best.
Playing
they
the
may
best.
Not be the best, but they're playing the best.
And that's all. And that's all that matters. So you know, we've got about you know, 3 or 4 weeks, Jason. It'll be, you know, county tournament time again for the varsity down at Wallace. That starts on January the 20th through the 27th.
Operations.
Well, at this time, yes, but I may be passing some of that torch on. I know the county hired Miss Wanda Gilliland, who worked for years at the office in Montgomery, the Alabama High School Athletic Association, and they have hired her as a part-time athletic director. So I've got to kind of get with her or the superintendent and kind of pass some of those duties along. But for right now, I'm still getting things arranged and taking care of the brackets and all those things, or some of those things that you have to do to get it started. So, but anyway, January 20th through January the 27th is the varsity county tournament down at Wallace.
Oh, real quickly, we got about 3 minutes, I guess, before we start. No? Yeah. We're going to have to make an adjustment to our break time today. But anyway, on the pro scene, and not NFL football right now, but next year, What do you think the NFL draft does to Alabama? What do you think it does? I don't know about Alabama. I know what
Auburn, they're going to lose.
Yeah, Auburn. The big question mark for Auburn, I think, is only going to be Kerryon Johnson and everybody
and
else.
That is a, and that's a
oh yeah
huge question mark.
I think he'll be back, though.
You think he'll
I
be
think
back?
What he has said and tweeted, I think he'll be back.
Okay. If I was going to lean, I'm leaning with you. Depends on what. But I think ultimately it depends on kind of what information he gets between now and draft.
If he's going to be a high draft choice, he needs to go.
You're exactly right. You can always, always go back and get that to finish up your education and get your diploma to hang on the wall. But you better strike while the iron is hot when it comes to money. And
he don't have to look very far. He can look at Petway there on Auburn's team.
That's right.
Could have went out the year before. He come back.
Would Petway been a first round draft pick?
I don't think first round. Okay. I think we were talking about early second round somewhere.
Okay. Still guaranteed money.
But now there's no telling where he would be at.
Yeah. Yeah.
And maybe he'll come back next year and redeem himself.
Right. What is the Jason? I ask you this: what is the status of Kerryon for the bowl game? Is that still up in there?
From all I have heard, he will be ready to play now. I don't know. You know, it turned out it was ribs instead of being his shoulder as much. He did have a shoulder injury, but the ribs was what I think was giving him so much trouble. And did you see the Georgia players piling on that shoulder?
Yes, I did. Yeah, yeah.
And I hate to say this because there are probably some Georgia fans listening.
Yeah.
But I think I have watched Auburn at some point play every team in the SEC. Hmm. By far, no questions, anything about it, Georgia fans, by far the worst fans I have ever been associated
fans?
With. Yeah, fans.
Okay, okay. I'm not throwing stones at anybody, but I have also heard very similar,
things. It's unbelievable. And it may have been the group. I know there's good Georgia fans.
Oh, no question.
Good
Alabama
fans.
That's right.
Boy, the group that was behind me, and it was a large group I'm talking about.
So you think Kerryon stays?
I think he stays.
Well, I know we got to go to break. Micah Fitzpatrick is gone. I don't think there's no question he's gone.
It's going to be an interesting time. We got a lot of football to play.
We got a lot of football. Year. That's exactly right.
All right, we're going to go to a break. When we come back, Chris Andrews,
Coach Sweater told us before he denied that he was going to Arkansas, it's just the beginning for Auburn. So it'll be an interesting couple of years coming up.
Something else we haven't talked about, the $7 million man at Auburn now. All right, stay with us.
I got a lot of crow to eat there.
Yeah, we'll be right back. Sports Talk Live.
Are you having trouble seeing your computer screen? Are the traffic signs looking a little fuzzy? Are the things that you used to be able to see looking just a little out of focus? Dr. Wayne Fuller has been helping Coleman see better for years, and he's still located on 2nd Avenue between the Catholic Church and Highway 278. You can call his friendly staff at 256-734-1121, and they'll be happy to get you seeing better. Whether it's with contacts, glasses designed just for you, or a low-cost alternative to LASIK. Again, Dr. Wayne Fuller is available at 256-734-1121.
We've spent a lot of time on this. The investigation is finally over. We uncovered several leads, and we have finally found it. We have found what every small business in Coleman has been looking for. Fiber optic quality internet is here. Utilizing cutting edge radio technology, Cyber Broadband is now able to offer fiber optic quality internet in the immediate downtown Coleman area and most Coleman industrial parks. More information is available by calling Cyber Broadband 256-734-1077, 256-734-1077, or on the web at cyberbroadband.net. You've thought about it. You've talked about it. You've even stared into the mirror dreaming about it. Well, now is the time, and Coleman Sports Fit is the place to get that body you've been wanting. Shaping Coleman since 1989, Coleman Sports Fit offers free weights and Cybex machines, treadmills, stair steppers, ellipticals, and an indoor track. Want to get wet? Take a swim in the indoor pool, whirlpool, or steam room. Coleman Sports Fit offers a variety of fun group classes too, like spinning, muscle pump, Zumba, cardio sculpt, or dance fit. Plus, Coleman SportsFit has the area's only racquetball courts. And for seniors, Coleman SportsFit is a proud provider of silver sneakers and SilverFit, a senior's only exercise plan at little or no cost. Coleman SportsFit Wellness Center, Highway 31 next to the Ag Center. For more information, visit ColemanSportsFit.com. A chill is in the air. The leaves are falling. And that means the holidays are right around the corner. The holiday season is the best time to help out Coleman Charities while also getting that much-needed end-of-the-year tax break and maybe helping out your business as well. Consider sponsoring an hour of Christmas music with Live 95. Details are available on the Live 95 Facebook page, online at live95coleman.com, or email us at studio@live95coleman.com. Thanks for listening to Live 95. And we hope you have the best holidays ever.
The following is a community announcement from Coleman's Live 95. Santa Claus is coming to town for Christmas at the Baileyton Senior Center, Saturday, December 16th from 5 until 7 p.m. Santa arrives at 5. Come and have your picture made with Santa free of charge. Plus, there'll be free hot dogs, hamburgers, drinks, and candy. Plus, gifts for the children and fruit bags will be given out. It's Christmas at the Baileyton Senior Center, Saturday, December 16th from 5 until 7 p.m. If you'd like to submit the community announcement to Live 95, send us an email to studio@live95coleman.com. This has been a community announcement from Coleman's Live 95.
$4.19. Hey, with that music, you can never know when to come in, Jay.
I'll tell that to the bumper person.
Just as we told you before the break, we have Chris Andrews on the line straight from Las Vegas, Nevada. Chris, welcome back to Sports Talk Live.
Welcome to you guys. You guys are the center of the universe. Everything I see on TV.
No, freaking kidding.
Sports, politics, everything, man.
Man, we might be better off in California nowadays. I don't know.
Oh, we're the laughing stock of the country, unfortunately.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Oh, man. I'm just
Ronnie, it would be so much worse had we elected him.
We're just glad it's over,
We would
Chris.
Truly be the laughing stock of the country. Anyway. Okay.
Chris, don't get Jay started on that issue.
No, I don't want to talk politics. No.
Hey, Chris, let's get to the one thing everyone in Alabama is talking about other than the election. The college football poll group released their last poll since we've talked. Clemson at number one, followed by Oklahoma, Georgia, and Alabama. Agree or disagree, and tell us why.
Well, I do agree, and I had said, you know, the question was going to be between Ohio State and Alabama, and I just felt that Alabama deserved the benefit of the doubt over Ohio State. You know, Ohio State got in last year, didn't even win their division, and then got thoroughly spanked and embarrassed in the playoffs. And this year, I mean, you know, I know they had injuries, but I mean, every team has injuries. You know, they went into Iowa, a very mediocre team, and got totally beat up. And I watched that game. There was nothing fluky going on. I mean, Iowa just handed them their hats. They really did everything they had to win the game, where Ohio State did nothing to win it. And I felt that really should be held against them. And, you know, Alabama, I mean, they lost to their arch rival in a road game. And you know, again, they got beat. Mm-hmm. But still, I felt that the one blemish on Alabama's record was still better than what Ohio State had, and I'm glad they got into the playoffs. And you can see now the money's all on Alabama, so the public certainly feels, as I do, that it was Bama that was the much better team than Ohio State.
Okay, good deal. I'm going to do like Ronnie says from time to time, throw you a curveball, something that we were just talking about. And this is just Jason's opinion. You can take this and a dollar and buy you a cup of coffee. So,
where can you get a cup of coffee for a dollar?
Hey, you can. Oh, this is Alabama.
All day around here.
Not Las Vegas, you can, but okay.
Anywhere but Starbucks. If you go to Starbucks, you're about six. So.
Yeah.
Hey, Chris, looking at what happened last year and then what's happened again this year, is there any other way to view conference championships now other than punishment games? Because I'm not saying Auburn should be in it. That was three losses for Auburn. But let's say Georgia had lost that game. There's no way in Hades that Georgia gets in losing the SEC championship. Wisconsin loses, they're out. Alabama sits at home, don't play, they're in. So is the championship games of the conferences now not become a penalty for teams?
Well, I think that's a real interesting way to look at it. I think in the past, it definitely has hurt the Big 12 not having a championship. But once again, I mean, if Oklahoma would have lost to TCU, you know, they'd have been out. Right. I think there's very little question they'd have been out. Would TCU have been in? Well, I doubt it. I don't think
right.
so. You know, so I think you really raise an interesting point. You know, that is a curveball, and I'd have to think about that a little bit more. Ronnie, mm-hmm. has Jason been going to these classes and kind of coming up with these good questions? That's a really good question.
Hey, when a man owns his own business, this is what he does during the day.
I will keep that in mind.
Hey, Chris, and then in part two of that,
I think that's a good question, and I absolutely see your point. And I'm going to have to think about that one a little bit. I think you definitely make some sense.
Yeah, and part two to it, what happens when a team, and it's not ever going to happen, but what if a team turned down playing in the championship game due to that fact?
Wow. There's another one. Well, I don't think anybody's going to do that. Not that I can foresee right now, as I think they'd probably get punished just the same. But, you know, that is a valid point that Alabama, you know, sat home and their resume is what it was, and they couldn't do any worse and probably couldn't do any better had they won.
Right.
You know, so I don't know. I have to think about that a little harder.
And even Alabama, if they play in the SEC championship game and lose, they're out. So
they very well could have been, yeah, yeah.
All right. We'll let you think on that for a week or so.
Okay.
Many love this current system, Chris, the four teams and just the way it is, the committee picking the four teams they think's best. But let's say they call you and say, Chris, we want you to come down and address our committee, and we're going to go with whatever you say. You can make any changes to the system. You can make any changes to the number of teams. Whatever you want to do, we're going to listen. What would Chris Andrews do to make this playoff better?
Well, I'd make it an 18 playoff. And first round would be at the top four seeds. So that would be your reward, you know, for however the seeding goes.
Right.
And I would say that, you know, you have five Power Five conferences. I think all five championship teams, you know, so win your championship game, and I would put them in, and then you have three at-large teams. You know, and then the seeding doesn't have to follow exactly what the championship games are, but I mean, you could seed them however you wish. And like I said, that first four games, because I know one of the things they worry about is travel, you know, between the teams and the fans and et cetera. You know, these teams get an extra home game, and we'll have to figure out how to split up the revenue. But I think there'll be plenty of that, and I think it'll just be, you know, a boon to the teams involved. The other thing I would do is the other five conferences, I would have a separate tournament. You know, like the exact same format. Have eight teams, you know, you have five conference champions, you know, whether it's, you know, the MAC and the Sun Belt or the Mountain West, and put them in a tournament as well. And I think those teams could play, you know, almost like the NIT versus the NCAA tournament. And I think that would be, I think that'd be pretty exciting. I mean, I'd love to see Central Florida, you know, against, I don't know who, you know, I'd have to start thinking about it, but, you know, I'd love to see some of those teams play each other. And I think that also would be a huge revenue producer, and I think it'd be some great football for us.
Yeah,
so that's the way.
An ideal
that's
there,
the way.
Chris.
If Chris Andrews was king of the world, that's what we would do.
We're gonna vote for you, then.
Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe
I'll go to Alabama. I might be up for it in a couple of years.
Hey, we'll elect you.
You have to date teenage girls to run in Alabama.
Do I have to?
Okay. No, you do have to.
Oh my goodness. Man. Hey, Chris, I think that was Jason and I had talked about, you know, going to eight teams, but I had never thought about, you know, taking those maybe mid-major, whatever, and doing the same thing with them. It's never crossed my mind, but that's a fantastic idea.
It gives them something to play for, absolutely. And it's a money maker. Yep.
So. Absolutely.
Yeah. And you can keep the rest of the bowl games intact. You know, I mean, why not?
Right.
You know, but I think those kids, yeah, they should have something to play for themselves. I think they would love it.
Yeah, I agree.
So, hey, Chris, you know, along that same line, and let me throw this one at you, too. Jason, I mentioned this to Jason and a minute ago. We were talking about expanding to 8 teams, and, of course, this is never going to happen. What you would do away with those championship games. Each conference would, you know, establish their criteria of how they're going to have a conference champion. And instead of playing that divisional championship game, then that would just could be your first round game in the playoffs, and then you're not, even though you're having 8 teams, you're not really playing any more games if you don't play a conference championship game.
Boy, that's another thought that I really hadn't crossed my mind.
And now that's never going to happen either.
That one too. You going to have same classes as Jason, Ronnie?
Yeah, he sent me the cliff notes. He sent me the cliff notes.
Okay, I see. I'd have to think about that, but that's not a bad idea.
Right. Okay. Here's my question, and we're going to stay with the playoffs just for another minute or two.
Sure.
And we're certainly in your wheelhouse right now. Can you share with us or give us the current odds for each team that may win the title and? Of these, you know, which ones look like a decent play?
Well, right now we got Alabama the favorite. They're 8-5, and you know, that's the one team I lose on. I've had some pretty big bets. Guy just came in yesterday afternoon, bet me $20,000 on Alabama.
Wow!
And you know, we've had a couple of big ones, so you know, there's definitely you know, some strong opinions that Alabama is the best team. So I got them 8-5. I got Clemson 14-5, so a little, just a tick under 3-1. Georgia 3-1, and then Oklahoma 7-2. If you ask me, though, I really think Clemson's probably a pretty good bet at 14-5. You know, I think, not that I'd like them to beat Alabama, but I made the game pick them. I think that's going to be a really tough game either way, and I see, you know, either team in that game going to win that by probably a field goal, you know, maybe the proverbial last team to have the ball going to win it, you know, one of those. But, you know, I think Clemson at 14-5, I think there's a little bit of value there because I think they'd be favored. If they beat Bama, I think they'd be favored over Georgia or Clemson.
Okay, that was something I was going to ask you. Do you think – well, let me ask you, Chris, and that may have been just what you said. The winner of the Clemson-Alabama game, do you think that's where the winner comes from to the national championship?
Well, I think they'll be favored in the championship game, you know, so – I, you know, you're going by that thought process, I would say yes. But, you know, I mean, you've been watching college football as long as I have. I mean, it ain't going to happen on these games, you know. So I'd say they'd be the favorite.
Oh, right. I agree. Okay. I got another one here for you. It says, I got one more playoff related question before we move on. I'm going to give you a portion of a team, such as defense, offense, special teams, et cetera. And we want you to rank the teams in each area from 1-4.
Okay.
You with me?
Yep.
Okay, all right. Offense overall.
Okay, I think unquestionably it's Oklahoma, number one offense. I put Bama number two. I mean, you know, I think they've got to be. They got a pretty balanced offense, running and passing. I put Georgia number three and Clemson kind of a distant four.
Okay. All right. Quarterback. That's a no-brainer, isn't it?
Yeah, well, I mean, Mayfield got to be number one. You know, I think Fromm from Georgia, this kid's awful good, you know, and I think I'd have him number two. Hurts number three, and Kelly Bryant from Clemson, I'd have him number four, although I'd like him too.
Right.
Hey, that's a pretty good quarterback play when you look at all four of the quarterbacks involved.
Yeah, sure is.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure is.
And that's... You know, once you're to this point in the season, you're going to find, in most cases, some pretty good quarterback player. You're not going to be there.
Right.
Okay, running back.
Ah, man, this one's a little tough. I think you got to go Georgia number one, you know, with Chubb.
Right.
You know, so, you know, they just have a pretty balanced team there with their running backs. Second, I'd have to go with Bama. You got, you know, Harris, but, you know, Hurts, I mean, how many yards he, I don't think he has 1,000, but he has, you know, what, about 700
right.
yards, something like that?
Yes.
You know? And third, I would go, I think I'd go with Oklahoma. You know, I saw where that Anderson kid, he's, you know, he had some sexual stuff charged against them.
Yeah.
But they just announced today they're dropping the charges.
Right.
And they, in all honesty, they did look like phony charges to be, you know.
Yeah.
So they did drop those. So I'd have to put them third. And then Clemson, you know, Clemson fourth. They just, you know, not that they're terrible, but they just don't have the offensive firepower that these other three teams have.
Right. Okay. Defense, overall.
Okay, this is where Clemson comes to the front, because I think by far they have the best defense, and that's one man's humble opinion.
Right.
Because I think, you know, and then I'd rate Georgia number two, Bama three, and Oklahoma way distant fourth.
Way distant fourth.
Way distant, because I like Clemson's defense the best. Georgia and Bama, I think it pretty much a toss-up. I had to pick one.
Right.
Yeah, I'd say Georgia, but it's all, you know, if you ask me tomorrow, I might say Bama.
Right.
You know, but I think Clemson's probably the best. They are the best. The other two, pretty close. And then Oklahoma, just not that good defensively.
Yeah, absolutely. Special teams.
You know, that's a tough one. I'm not sure I'm all that qualified to judge them. They all look fairly similar. Once again, I think Clemson probably has the worst special teams. Hmm. You know, so... anyway, you add all that up. Now, you know, a lot of those things in Bama's favor. But I will say this. If you look over the course of time, the way I evaluate teams, you know, those defensive numbers are just a little bit stronger than the offense because they could just do more to stop you.
Right.
You know, so that's why I think the Clemson-Bama game is probably going to be pretty close to a pick. I thought it should be picking, and I think it's going to be a real good game all the way to the end.
Right. Okay. Last category, coaching.
Well, I think, you know, it's without a doubt Saban got to be number one. You know, I think Sweeney, pretty solid number two. Kirby Smart, number three. And then,
yeah.
You know, Lincoln Riley, I mean, he's young. I mean, he hasn't done anything bad.
Right.
But I just don't see him, you know, he's still a young, he's a kid. You know, my son's as old as him. You know, I won't put him in charge of Oklahoma either, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, so right now I just think he's got to be below these other guys, just as a fact of experience.
Yeah, I agree.
Well, he's a rich kid.
Yeah.
Hey, Chris, while we're talking about coaches, we ended up there with coaching. Let's talk about the coaching carousel. And the first thing I want to ask, what is your thoughts on Auburn making the mega deal with Gus Malzahn? Ronnie, let's read that again. Auburn making the mega deal with Gus Malzahn. 7 years, $49 million to a coach that we're about to run off 2 weeks before that.
And may do it 2 weeks from now.
Is that a wise move or not?
I was just kind of thinking, first of all, that's a lot of money. I didn't know they had that much money down in Auburn. That's a lot of money. Jeez. But I think it's probably a good move because it seems like ever since, like, whatever it was, that first or second year, when Gus had a tremendous amount of success, it's always been like, they're sort of behind them, but not all the way. It's like they were living together, but not really married.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
This puts them married. And I think that makes a big difference recruiting-wise. I think it might make a difference, you know, psychologically on a week-in, week-out basis that, you know, Gus knows that he's probably not going to get fired for, you know, making a bad call on fourth down or something like that. You know, so I think it's probably a good move for Auburn. I mean, really, and as much as these guys get paid, you know, if they're successful, they're worth it. I mean, you look at Nick Saban, and I know we use him a lot, but he's probably right in that same category, making $6-7 million a year. He's probably worth three times that. You know, if you were like a business owner and evaluating that way, I mean, he brings in a ton of money to that school. And the bad part is when you got to get rid of that guy. You know, now Butch Jones at Tennessee, I mean, you know, that didn't work out real well for Tennessee. And, you know, they're going to be facing some financial hardships in the near future because of that. Guys, hang on 1 second, guys.
Okay.
Sure.
Hey, take care. That might be a $1 million bet coming in there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hang on 1 second, guys. I got a guy trying to make a big bet.
Hey, man. You, that's what I said, baby.
Bring him up, Chris.
Oh, he wants a Colts, right?
Hey, this is live action right here.
That's right.
Straight from Vegas.
You don't get this anywhere. No, you don't get this anywhere in Alabama. You know? I mean, that's just what it is.
All right, guys, I'm back.
No.
So, anyway.
Hey, Chris, quick question before
wait,
I...
Wait, hang on 1 second. Hang
okay.
On. Hey, Joe. Joe. 20. Yeah.
Yeah, get him at least 20.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll give him 20,000. What the hell?
Yeah, there you go.
It's only paper.
Chicken that's feed. It. Chicken feed.
We're going to eat the same breakfast in the morning either way.
Hey, I'm fixing to make you fall back in your seat if you haven't already heard this, but the tale was with the Auburn-Gus Malzahn fiasco that Auburn was in talks with James Franklin and almost had the deal inked, and it become too rich with a buyout and what he was wanting, and so that's when they married Gus, when that deal become too rich. So
my stomach just turned over. I want to keep Franklin around. He's done a hell of a job.
He has. And let me throw this one out at you, Chris, and Jason to respond as well. With this new, you know, contract that Gus got, and we've already said it, it's, you know, 7 years, $49 million. Will 8-5 or 9-4, I guess what I'm saying is the lease much shorter now? Because they're paying him so much,
I
or
think
is the lease
longer.
Longer? Okay.
They're forced to keep him now.
Okay.
Yeah, I think the same way. I think, you know, he's going to, you know, it's tough to swallow $49 million. You know, if you're Warren Buffett or Bill Gates, I don't think any of those guys want to swallow $49
million. Like you said,
yeah.
Chris,
that's
about being married. They're definitely going to be married. They may not like the marriage, but they'll just live in a different part of the house or
cheaper
something.
Cheaper to keep her. Cheaper to keep her, baby.
Yeah.
Let me throw one more. I'm going to let Ronnie have you, Chris. Of all the hires across the nation, which team do you think did the most to improve football at their school? And was there anybody that really just kind of underwhelmed you?
Well, there's one that underwhelmed me. Let me hit that one first.
All right.
You know, I think Taggart at FSU. I know he's done some good things and all that, but, you know, I just haven't been terribly impressed, you know.
Hey Chris,
I think he's going to have it tough at Florida State.
Hey, Chris, with you being closer out that way, that one completely blindsided me. I didn't see that coming. Jason may have. I mean, had you been hearing some things out your way?
I heard about it like a couple days before it happened. And, I got a good buddy of mine who does like these coaching evaluations. He's, you know, real mathematical in his stuff, and he kind of pointed it out to me really a while back before Taggart got hired by Florida State. You know, just saying he's been the beneficiary of some outside circumstances, and you know, he said considering what he had going for him, he's just. Not that he's a bad coach, he's not, but he's not a great coach either. He's just kind of a middle of the pack kind of guy, you know. So, you know, I think that's a big job at Florida State. I mean, they've been, since Bobby Bowden brought them, you know, national recognition in the 80s,
right.
You know, that's been one heck of a program. So, I don't know. I'm highly questioning that one. But listen, he went up to Oregon, he turned around that program pretty quick, you know. But he had a lot of stuff going for the. He had the Nike money going for him up there. Believe me, Oregon's a, you know, that's a pretty good job, and you know. But he went in and did well. We'll see what he does at Florida State. But I'm a little skeptical at this point.
All right, hey Chris, the Bowls are just right around the corner. Matter of fact, they start this Saturday with 6 games being played, and then they continue until the you know our champion is crowned. This is a 2-part question. First, excluding the playoff games, which 2 or 3 bowl games do you view as the most interesting and why? And then second part, the 2 semifinal games, from just a fan standpoint, which ones do you think we're going to enjoy watching more?
Okay. Well, first of all, I want to address your last question. I think Frost at Nebraska really was a great hire by them. So
absolutely.
Anyway, just let me throw that one in.
Fantastic
right.
for them.
I have a kid that lives in Seattle. And so I'm dying to see this Penn State-Washington game. I think that's going to be a terrific game. you know, I think the coaching is pretty good on both sides. I think Chris Peterson, he's a hell of a coach, but he makes some of the best in-game adjustments I've seen, you know, considering what the other team's doing.
Yeah.
I'm not sure I'd say the same about Franklin, but Franklin's really recruited well, and he's got a lot of offensive talent.
Absolutely.
So I think that's a game I really want to see. You know, the Cotton Bowl, I want to see that. USC and Ohio State, and, you know, that's a classic matchup. You know, I know I'm a little older than you guys, but I remember seeing those Rose Bowls back in the 60s, you know, between these two teams. And I can't wait to see this one. And all the money's on Ohio State. And, you know, I'm not so sure about that one. I think USC could keep this one pretty close.
I agree. All right. My last question.
I got to answer the other one.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. The semifinal. I'm sorry.
Well, I think the Clemson-Bama game is, you know, they're all must-see at this point. But that one, I mean, you got to see round three of this one. I mean, the rubber match between these two. You know, I can't wait to see the Georgia game, but I really can't wait to see this Bama game.
I got you. Hey, Chris, real quickly, I'm going to throw one at you, and then I'll get you to the last question. We'll get you out of here. UCLA hiring Chip Kelly. What do you think?
I think that's a pretty good hire. He was on my list here as one of the, you know, I had to, like, eliminate. I couldn't do all of them.
Yeah, sure.
I thought Frost was the best one, but I think Kelly's going to do well. I think, you know, I think a lot of those California kids, you know, you look out there, a lot of speed in California. You know, a lot of these kids are really, really fast. I don't know what it is, but you know, I think a lot of those kids would really fit in pretty well with Chip Kelly's offense. So give him a year or two, and I think you know, UCLA going to be in that national hunt. That's going to be pretty good.
Yep, okay, I agree with you. All right, it's about time for us to wrap it up, but we can't let you get off the line without asking you for a few picks and your picks of the week.
Okay, I got a couple here.
Jason's foaming at the mouth.
No.
Well, believe it or not, I like Indianapolis tonight. So I know it's kind of a crappy game.
I need something tonight anyway, so that'd be worth good.
Well, you can take +3 on the Colts, and I think they hang in there with a Denver team that, you know, listen, let's not get too excited. They broke an 8-game losing streak by beating the Jets at home. You know, so let's not go overboard, you know. So I think the Colts hang in there. I like the Colts +3. I like Buffalo. You got Miami just coming off a win over New England, and they're traveling north. You know, those Florida boys, you send them up in that Buffalo weather. Man, I know I'd be looking to get off the field as soon as possible, and I think that's part of the psychology, really. But also, like I said, beating New England last week, and you have to travel to Buffalo. I think that's just a really tough trip for Miami at this time of year. And the last one, this is probably going to make Jason happy, Ronnie. But I like Carolina. I mean, you know, you're talking about, you know, we're talking about Rodgers coming back. But, I mean, the guy hasn't played in 2 months.
Right.
I mean, he's not just going to step in and be the same quarterback that he's been for the last 7-8 years. I mean, that's just impossible. And plus, his team is not that good. You know, if he was stepping in, you know, to replace Roethlisberger or Brady or something like that, I'd say, yeah, he could be, because there's a lot of weapons. But there just isn't that many weapons on Green Bay. And I think Carolina right now, they're playing some pretty good football. And I know, Cam is Ronnie's man. And, you know, I think that's the right side this week.
I wonder who is dressing Cam for his post-game.
Remind me to never hire that
guy,
whoever he is.
I'm telling you. He looked like a bellhop this last week. Oh, man.
That was of all the goofy ones he's had, that might have been the
worst. Oh, yeah. There's no doubt about it.
He didn't ride to practice on a horse, though, did he?
No, he didn't do that.
Hey, Chris, we've got to tell you that if you didn't know it. Did you know that, and this is here in Alabama now, Mr. Roy Moore, he and his wife rode their horse to the polling booth to cast their votes yesterday.
Oh, it was all over the news, yes.
That's what I was afraid of.
Even I think I could ride a horse better than that. I haven't ridden a horse in 40 years. That was awful.
Oh, man. What can we say?
Well, Chris, I think we're going to take next week off. Ronnie's going to be out of town, so unless I feel spry, I might give you a shout. But if not, I hope you and your family have the best Christmas and a great New Year, which we may talk to you between now and then, but I'm going to tell you this anyway. and can't say enough thanks to you for joining this show, and you make it a lot better for us, and I know people love listening to you.
Amen.
Well, thanks, guys, and I've been telling you this for however many years we've been doing. It's one of my favorite hours of the week. I love talking to you guys, and, really, and I've been extending invitations to you guys. I actually have a hotel now, so you guys come out. Our rooms are on me.
That day is coming.
We are planning.
The booze and the gambling, you're on your own. Sorry, fellas. I'll take care of the rooms.
Oh, good deal.
Well, Chris, have a good one and a safe one, and we'll be talking to you.
You too, guys. Have a great holiday weekend.
Thanks,
really
brother.
Talk to you soon. Okay. See you later.
See you. Chris Andrews, not a better guy in the world.
Las Vegas, Nevada. Free hotel rooms for us.
We're there.
We're there, baby.
Man, you keep moving up the world, doesn't it?
We'd be like dumb and dumb.
Yeah. Andy and Barney going to the big city.
Oh,
all right, 4:48. We come back. We'll talk a little, and then at around 5, we'll have Dan Vosta out of Chicago. So stay with us. It's only getting better from here. Sports Talk Live, 95.5.
Hey, guys, let's face it. We all want to look our best, but with minimal effort, right? Well, that's where Angela at Scissor Salon comes in. She'll get you looking your best so you're always on top of your game. Walk-ins are always welcome. Scissor Salon, Highway 278 East, just past the water plant, 735-3089, 735-3089. Look for the big scissors on the roof. The following is a community announcement from Coleman's Live 95. Santa Claus is coming to town for Christmas at the Baileyton Senior Center, Saturday, December 16th from 5 until 7 p.m. Santa arrives at 5. Come and have your picture made with Santa free of charge. Plus, there'll be free hot dogs, hamburgers, drinks, and candy. Plus, gifts for the children and fruit bags will be given out. It's Christmas at the Baileyton Senior Center, Saturday, December 16th from 5 until 7 p.m. If you'd like to submit the community announcement to Live 95, send us an email to studio@live95coleman.com. This has been a community announcement from Coleman's Live 95.
Are you having trouble seeing your computer screen? Are the traffic signs looking a little fuzzy? Are the things that you used to be able to see looking just a little out of focus? Dr. Wayne Fuller has been helping Coleman see better for years, and he's still located on 2nd Avenue between the Catholic Church and Highway 278. You can call his friendly staff at 256-734-1121, and they'll be happy to get you seeing better, whether it's with contacts, glasses designed just for you, or a low-cost alternative to LASIK. Again, Dr. Wayne Fuller is available at 256-734-1121.
A chill is in the air. The leaves are falling. And that means the holidays are right around the corner. The holiday season is the best time to help out Coleman Charities while also getting that much-needed end-of-the-year tax break and maybe helping out your business as well. Consider sponsoring an hour of Christmas music with Live 95. Details are available on the Live 95 Facebook page, online at live95coleman.com, or email us at studio@live95coleman.com. Thanks for listening to Live 95, and we hope you have the best holidays ever.
We've spent a lot of time on this. The investigation is finally over. We uncovered several leads, and we have finally found it. We have found what every small business in Coleman has been looking for. Fiber optic quality internet is here. Utilizing cutting-edge radio technology, Cyber Broadband is now able to offer fiber optic quality internet in the immediate downtown Coleman area and most Coleman industrial parks. More information is available by calling Cyber Broadband, 256-734-1077, 256-734-1077, or on the web at cyberbroadband.net.
Live 95 is Coleman's independent radio. And now it's time to check in on our regional news from the Alabama Radio Network.
From the ARN News Center, I'm Derek Scudder. The University of Alabama has named its new vice president for financial affairs. Matthew Fajak will begin work on February 15th, where he will oversee finance and business activities, enterprise operations, facilities, human resources, and public safety. He's leaving a similar position at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Thank goodness for Mississippi. The United Health Foundation has released its annual health rankings report, basing the results on 35 different health and wellness measures. 7 of the bottom 10 are in the South. Alabama comes in at number 43. Our neighbors to the west occupy the bottom spot. After traveling through Birmingham Shuttlesworth International Airport this holiday season, you can enjoy sounds of the holidays. Different musicians and groups will have two performances each day through Christmas Eve to offer holiday cheer in the pre-security area. This is the Alabama Radio Network. The winner in Tuesday's special election, Doug Jones, talked with the press about his campaign.
We were true to ourselves, and I think that that was a very important piece of winning this election.
The Democrat will head to Washington in January. Roy Moore still has not conceded the election. He released a video on YouTube explaining his position.
This has been a very close race, and we are awaiting certification by the Secretary of State. This particular race was watched not only by the people of this state, but by the entire nation. And many around the world. Why? Because I believe the heart and soul of our country is at stake.
He says he'll wait for Secretary of State John Merrill to certify the votes, which won't happen until after Christmas. A runoff election in State Senate District 26 means no candidate will likely to be seated until after the upcoming legislative session. State Representative John Knight and Montgomery City Councilman David Burkett will meet again on February 26th. The winner will face Republican Daryl D.J. Johnson in a general election in May. I'm Derek Scudder, ARN News.
Add some power to your Christmas list this year. Right now, legendary fuel-powered steel chainsaws start at $179.95. And steel battery-powered blowers start at just $129.95. Deck your halls with power. Put a steel under your tree. Fuel or battery, find the steel power that's right for you. Search STIHL or find a dealer at steeldealers.com. All prices MSRP at participating dealers.
Roxanne Watson is on a mission to have more people sign up as organ, eye, and tissue donors. What drives her? Roxanne received a heart transplant made possible by an organ donor.
I decided that day to devote myself to signing up the most.
Broadcasting from a transmitter as powerful as a hairdryer. Hey, we got it on high. This is Live 95, Cullman's Independent Radio, WRJMLP, Cullman.
I can tell you a funny story about our automation system. I was listening to the news broadcast the day of the election, and apparently Doug Jones bought a whole bunch of commercials in the news, and the system just shut down in the middle of his commercial. And I thought, huh, what are the odds?
I bet in his commercial somewhere it told about him shutting down the Ku Klux Klan.
Yeah.
It was not me, but, you know, the listeners, hey, y'all can think what you want.
Oh, that's right. Everybody can form their own opinion.
Hey, Jay.
Yeah.
Let me ask you one question. Me and Ronnie were just talking about, and then we'll get Dan on if he's ready.
All right.
Do you think if the Republicans had ran anybody else rather than Roy Moore, they would have beat Doug Jones?
Yes.
That's what I think.
And I think we would not have even cracked the national news. They would, no one would have been talking about it.
No, that's right. Wouldn't be as close.
Will you agree with this? If the Democrats had any other candidate other than Hillary, they would have beat Donald Trump.
Not enough information.
Oh, that's taking the easy way out. All right, let's go.
Would Bernie Sanders have beat Donald Trump?
No, probably not Bernie.
No. There are a lot of people following Bernie. A lot of people.
Yeah, most of them, though, smoking weed.
I got one for you. Had Roy Moore not had X number of accusers show up out of the blue.
No doubt about it.
No doubt.
Think he would have won.
Yes. No doubt.
No doubt about it.
Yeah,
not even close.
No doubts here either.
Nope.
Okay.
All right. Let's get off politics and get back to sports where it's a little more real life.
A little more pleasant here in Alabama.
All right, we've got Dan, our main man from Chicago. Dan, welcome back to Sports Talk Live.
Thanks for having me on, guys. Happy Thursday to you.
Hey, thanks,
Dan. Same to you.
Hey, let's get it started, and we're going to start with you exactly where we started with a previous guest and talk about the College Football Playoff Committee and their final rankings. Three of the four, no surprise at all. Alabama coming in at number four has started many debates. So our question, do you agree with the final rankings? And if not, or if you do, explain why.
Yeah, I agree with the rankings. I think I don't really have a problem with them. I think it's always been, you know, they've gotten the four best teams in, and I think that's been the most important thing for the CFP was, you know, you always get the four best teams in, and it doesn't matter necessarily about who you played, it's how you've looked against the competition that you've been dealt with or that your programming's given you the non-conference teams. And after that, you pretty much, you know, play the teams and you're able to beat them. And the eye test is a big deal. I think over the last few years, it's certainly been a huge case. And, you know, conference championship games are important, but it's far from the end-all, be-all, if you will, because there's other games that I think are important. It's how you get out for September all the way through December. And you look at, you know, certain months, people kind of put a little bit too much stock into just the last game or two, which is certainly important. But those first 10 games are much more important than just the last game, depending on how things shake out. And some people put a little too much stock in that. So I'm looking forward to this CFP. I think this could be the best one. And I think they got the four best teams in. Not the most deserving, the four best. And you play that out through 13 games or how many you have on your schedule. And I think what they did was the correct decision. And if they would have put in, you know, Ohio State over Bama, it wouldn't have been the end of the world to me because I thought it was very close. I had them 4-5 and had Wisconsin 6 just like they had them. So it was pretty close. But that last couple weeks, I think, proved Ohio State had a chance. And they fell apart with Iowa, just a really bad loss. And despite getting by Wisconsin, it wasn't just enough to get by an Alabama team that was number one for a good part of the year, and they were able to hang on to number four.
Okay, Ronnie and I talked about this earlier. I want to get your thoughts on it, and let me say up front, first, I'm no way saying that Auburn should have been in the playoffs because of their third loss. I mean, that, you know, pretty easy to leave them out. But let's look and take Alabama, for example. Replace them with teammates if you want to, so we take the being partial out of it. After watching the selections the last 2 years, in your mind, Dan, is it safe to say the importance of conference championship games are now reduced almost to the point that they serve as punishment to the teams that won their division? An example, Auburn lost the championship game, was booted out. Georgia, if they had lost, would have not been included in the playoffs. Wisconsin lost, they were booted out. Alabama, in the meantime, didn't play, yet increased their value and was chosen to play in the playoffs.
Yeah, no, you can make a strong case certainly for that, but I think, you know, just people put too much stock. They feel like if you win a Power 5 championship, that should automatically get you at least in the discussion, if not automatically into the CFP, which I think is a little too outrageous. It doesn't mean much to win your conference championship game if you're talking about the four best teams. There's many times, in my opinion, not just in the CFP era, but in the BCS era, where there's two teams in the same division, or at least the conference, that are among the four best teams in the country. And I think that happens almost every year or every other year. It happens quite frequently. So occasionally you'll see Power 5 championship teams that come so close to the CFP that win their Power 5 championship game that get left out. Certainly that's a kind of a big deal when you look at these teams that really don't have an issue.
All right, let me add on to the end of that. Let's say Auburn had not made it to the SEC championship. All right, would they have still made the playoffs if they didn't play
if
that
Auburn
extra game have, with two losses?
You're saying if Auburn would have...
No, if Auburn had not even if Auburn had not even played in the championship game.
Oh yeah, they probably would have gotten in, but it would have required them obviously to win two more games, probably, or at least one more than they didn't win earlier in the year. They would have to beat an LSU in another game that they didn't win earlier in the year. Probably they probably would have to beat Clemson and LSU. Then yeah, then I would think they probably would have gotten in. But with the way and with the way the ranking was, obviously they weren't in the top four going into that game. Yeah, they would have gotten in, but unfortunately, Auburn didn't play like a championship team in September or October. They played like world beaters in November, but unfortunately, when you don't play like a world beater in September and October, and you play in a tough division, you know, you're going to get left out. And Auburn, I don't think, was close to a top four team in that first, you know, 5-6 weeks plus.
No, but Auburn was ranked number two before they played in the SEC
right.
championship. So if they had not
right.
played
they
in the SEC,
in if they,
okay,
if they, right, they would have gotten in without a doubt if they didn't play in that game. But they had, obviously they won their division, so they had to play in the game. And if they would have won another game more than they did currently, said at number two ranking, they would have been, you know, arguably a lock to get in. Even if they would have lost to Georgia, they would have to have it be a closer game, though. You know, they got blown out in that third, fourth quarter against Georgia. Had it been a respectable game, and had Auburn been, instead of 9-3, had they been 11-1, yeah, I would argue they'd probably still get in. But because they had three losses, or two losses, but, you know, get their third loss, that was just too much to overcome. Had they been 11-1, I think they would have probably gotten in if they made that game a little bit more competitive.
All right. So you will agree with me that Auburn was punished for playing in the SEC championship while Alabama advanced by not playing, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's to a degree, but that's the rules we play with. When you get a chance to play in a plus-one game, it was like a quarterfinal game, unfortunately, Alabama got the benefit of the doubt, but unfortunately for Auburn, with Alabama was, I would argue, significantly better in September and October than Auburn was. And while Auburn was significantly better in that last month, that's just kind of the way, you know, the cookie crumbles, per se. Unfortunately, Auburn did get to beat Bama, but they had to play one more game, and they couldn't get the job done, unfortunately. That's just the way the rules are. But if Auburn would have been a little bit better in September and October, they would probably get in over Bama, in my opinion. If they would have been, say, 11-2, I think they would be in over even 11-1 Bama. If they won one more game, they would have beaten Clemson or LSU, I would argue they would have gotten in over Alabama had that championship
okay.
game against Georgia, of course, been closer.
Okay, good deal.
Yep, I agree with you. Yep. I agree with you, Dan. Hey, looking at the first round of the playoffs, I've got some categories here, and I want you to you know, answer each category for me. So, again, looking at the first round of the playoffs, which game, A, is the most interesting?
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Rose Bowl. I'm going to go with Oklahoma, Georgia. That's going to be a thriller. You got a great offense against a great defense in Georgia.
Okay. Then B offers the best offensive show from both sides.
Yeah, I'm going to stay with the Rose Bowl again. I mean, you got the best offense in all of college football in Oklahoma. And then Georgia, an underrated offense because they can methodically move the football. But I would not count out Terry Godwin and Javon Wims, two capable receivers for Georgia. Isaac Nata, a capable tight end. They can throw the ball around a little bit, but obviously they're predicated on the running game. I just like those two offenses, the bowl game together, a little bit more than the Sugar Bowl. So give me the Rose, Oklahoma, Georgia.
Okay. Has the best two defensive teams.
Yeah, I think this one's pretty easy because of Oklahoma. They're probably the worst of the four by a landslide, so it's an easy one. Sugar Bowl, I would argue the two best defenses in the country, arguably, in Alabama and Clemson. Certainly, easily two of the top four defenses in the country. You could throw Georgia in there, maybe another team in there, but easily for me, Sugar, Clemson, Bama.
Okay. Is more likely to be a blowout, and which way?
Wow. Yeah, I'm going to go with the Rose Bowl. I think more of a blowout. I think it's more respect to Nick Saban, Alabama, never getting blown out. It's almost impossible for them to lose by double figures, barring they play Alshon Jeffrey in South Carolina, or more recently, just a few weeks ago, in the Iron Bowl. So, and I don't think they're going to blow out Clemson, because this Clemson team, maybe not as good as last year. I think Bama's not nearly as good as last year either. So that game, I think, is just going to be tough for any team to win by, say, 17 or more. Whereas the Sugar Bowl, the Rose Bowl, I think there's a chance it could be. I don't think that's going to be a blowout either, but I think that's more likely because Baker Mayfield can score a lot on you. And Georgia's defense could potentially score as well on defensive special teams because of how athletic and productive they've been. And if they grind the clock out and Baker Mayfield has an off game, Georgia potentially could win a big game. And obviously if Jake Fromm's trailing early and starts throwing the ball around, Oklahoma can win big. So I like Rose Bowl for the bigger chance of a blowout.
Okay. Which is more likely to come down to the final possession?
Yeah, like we just talked about Sugar Bowl. Clemson, yep. Bama, this game probably played in the 20s, and even more than that, I would think it would be pretty surprising even to get there maybe. So last possession, Clemson, Bama. Hey, it's only been like that the last two times they played in big-time national championship games. this one's just a step lower in the semis. I anticipate a great game that comes down to the wire.
All right. Last but not least, which one could end up being nothing more than a bore?
Yeah, I'm going to go actually with the Sugar Bowl, surprisingly enough. I mean, maybe I'm contradicting myself from more of a chance of a blowout, but I think just because the average fan wants a lot of, you know, either hard-hitting severely, which I think the Sugar Bowl could give you, but more fans, I think, like offensive bonkers, fireworks, scoring, getting 60-plus points. You ain't going to get that probably in Bama Clemson. I mean, you could maybe get 50 total points. Pushing 60 would be tough. The average bowl game is getting well over 60. There's a chance the Rose Bowl can get, you know, to maybe three-quarters of the way to 100. So potentially the Sugar Bowl, if Alabama and Clemson's offenses can't get much going, there's a chance this game could be played in the high teens.
All right. Hey, Dan, we asked our previous guest the same question I'm about to ask you for your thoughts on, and that is, if the CFP committee asks you to address the entire group with your thoughts on how the playoff or the selection process could be improved, what would you say?
Yeah, I would tell them, you know, it would be nice if they could come out and give a little bit more of an explanation of what exactly they're looking at in terms of the rules, per se. They say the four best, but maybe make it a little bit more clear that, you know, conference championship games is not the end-all, be-all. I mean, obviously, I understand and know what they're kind of doing, having predicted fairly well, especially this year, nailing the top six of those final picks. It's the eye test. It's how good you've looked against weaker competition and how you've looked against mediocre, the top competition. It's kind of like the eye test, how good you've played for the whole stretch of the season. It'd be nice if they kind of put that out there, because right now there's not really too much out there. People are, it's a guessing game of what they think the committee is going to do as opposed to their own personal rankings. I always try to project what the committee is going to do, not necessarily what I would do. But it would be nice if they kind of came out a little bit out in the open and said, this A, B, and C, that's our main criteria. They give you a little bit of criteria of what they look at, but it's a little bit talking out of both ends of what they really do, because the last couple of years there's so many scenarios and certain things that kind of change things up a little bit. But for me, it would be nice if they said, we're going to give you the four best, and here's A, B, and C, what we're looking at.
Okay, good deal. Hey, Dan, this year there was almost as many coaches lost or changed their job as there was coaches that stayed at the same school. There is no way we can talk about all of them, so I want to ask you your thoughts on a few. And I want to start out in no other place than Auburn. In grades, there's five of them, I think, or six. So I want you to give each school a grade on their coaching hire here, an A or an F, mm-hmm. and somewhere in between. Auburn extends the contract of Gus Malzahn, paying him $7 million a year for 7 years.
Yeah, I would give that, you know, probably much an A. I mean, I'm not sure it's an A+, but I'd give it a solid A. I think certainly he's had success there. You're looking for more consistency. A season like this for many years in the future would be great, and get over that ledge and get over the top, if you will, and win a national championship is really the only thing that's missing on Gus and Auburn's resume of recency. But just be a little bit more nationally known. They've had some down years, and they've had some big years like this year in 2013. So looking to get over that hump, per se, and win a national championship. But in terms of this, I give it a solid A, because he's I think he's really putting Auburn among the nationally relevant top 10, top 20 program, without a doubt.
Okay. Tennessee's hire of Jeremy Pruitt.
Yes. They wish they were a top 20 program on the Vols. I give this an A- as well. I don't think it's a home run hire, but I think it's about as good as they could have done. Obviously, a lot of coaches were turning them down, but Jeremy Pruitt has had big-time success as a coordinator, and he's had so much experience in big-time programs and in big-time games. And I think he's ready for this. I think he knows the SEC well. I think he can get Tennessee to win 7-8 games immediately, and before you know it, in 2-3 years, can potentially get them back to a double-digit win type of season, maybe, for the Vols. Not anticipating national championships, which is not how I'm grading this. They've been in the dumpster for a while. This is a very good hire, so I give it about a solid A-. This is about as close as a home run hire as you can get for Rocky Top.
Okay. Texas A&M opens the bank to hire Jimbo Fisher.
Yeah, I like this a lot, too. I mean, my moderate expectations, not quite to compete consistently for national championships, but I would give this about a B+. I think it's a great hire. I'm not in love with him having big-time success in the toughest division in the country, arguably. And, of course, they play Bama and Clemson next year in the first couple of weeks. So the schedule is going to be a grueling stretch for the Aggies, but I think he can get them a little bit more relevant than Kevin Sumlin did. He can have a couple of years, one at least, like Sumlin did with Manziel, win the Heisman, they finished in the top five when they beat Oklahoma in the Cotton Bowl. I think he could have a couple of those years at a more consistent pace than obviously Sumlin did. So I give it a strong B+, borderline A-.
Okay, good deal. Only two more left. After missing on Malzahn, Arkansas hires Chad Morris.
Yeah, this is a good one. I think this is a B+ for me as well. I think it's for what they've lost with Brett Bielema over the years, they're trying to gain more consistency of a coach that can stay there for more than a handful of years, going back to Petrino. So I think in offensive minds, what they want, they want to get back to having successful quarterbacks like Petrino and Ryan Mallett. That was kind of like the last relevant team they've had of being a top 10 or so team. Chad Morris could potentially bring that, but once again, you got to moderate your expectations a little bit in the SEC West. But I give it a strong B+. The offense should take an up gear here, and I think it's going to make Arkansas more relevant. Get back to 8-9 wins, which is something they just have not been consistent enough in terms of recent memory.
Okay, good deal. Ole Miss stays within by hiring Matt Luke as permanent head coach.
Yeah, I give this a B+ as well. I think Matt Luke, he really won, I think, the Ole Miss program over down the stretch of the season where I thought they would tank, or at least most people did. I thought it would be tough to get six wins, and they finished the strong really well. Obviously, they were ineligible for the postseason ban, of course, but still, they could have tanked and went 3-9 or something, and they finished much stronger and more competitive with that, even despite losing Shea Patterson, who's now going to Michigan, of course, but he got injured. He wasn't the same for this year for the most part. Ole Miss, I thought they played really well. Of course, they won the Egg Bowl, had a lot of momentum. He had a strong B+ hire for Ole Miss.
Okay, good deal. Oh, I'm about to skip over one I was going to ask you there, Dan, that I had wrote down. Mm-hmm. You just gave out the grades on a few teams. Finish us up with a coaching conversation. Tell us your opinion on which team do you feel in the country did the best overall with their new hire, and which team would you say may have underachieved in their hire?
Yeah, I'm going to go Herm Edwards, the worst hire. I just think it's going to – barring a miracle, it's going to be at best mediocre. More likely, I think it's just not going to work out where he might not get to a bowl game. If he's there for a year or two, it's going to be tough to get to a bowl game. If they do, it's going to be a lower-tier bowl game, no better than the Sun Bowl like they are this year with Todd Graham still awkwardly coaching that game. So I think the Herm Edwards hire was quite a head-scratcher. I'd rank that as the worst. The best, I would probably go with Florida and Dan Mullen. There's lots of other good options, certainly. But I would argue that's a great fit for Florida. It's going to help them get back to national relevancy, which means for me, can you be a consistent top 15, top 20 program? Can you get the New Year's Six Bowls? Can you get the Outbacks in your sleep? Can you get the 9 wins easily every year? Maybe not easy, but can you do it consistently? Certainly Jimbo Fisher won 12 games a year at Florida State minus this past year, and you see obviously Nick Saban, Urban Meyer, and now Dabo Swinney. Getting the double-digit wins in their sleep. It's very easy. You see on a consistent basis, per se. I think, I'm not sure he can get, you know, in that category, but I think he can get awfully close, which is something the Florida Gator faithful would desperately take right now since they've been struggling to get to consistency just in postseason games alone. So I would rank Mullen as the best and Herm out west and Tempe the worst.
Okay.
All right. Hey, Dan, bowl games will start this weekend, and we'll begin to wrap up the football season. My question is, what game this weekend or game do you think will be the best game to watch?
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Vegas Bowl. Oregon Ducks, Boise State Broncos. Ducks are actually about a touchdown favorite despite being the unranked team in this matchup. But Willie Taggart's no longer there at Florida State now. Good hire for both. Many people like to hire at Oregon because of Mario Cristobal. At least the players do. They wanted him. He's coaching as the interim guy for this bowl game, but he's also, you know, no longer the interim guy, I should say, because he is the future coach now right. And the current coach of the Ducks. So that's a good matchup. Boise State often plays in the Vegas Bowl when they're not in a big-time bowl. I think they'll show up against Oregon. That's going to be a shootout. There should be at least 60 or so points scored in that game. Royce Freeman, one of the better backs in the country for Oregon before he heads to play on Sundays. lots of points, and I think Oregon's going to show up in this one. I like them to out-duel Boise State, which should be a really good game Saturday afternoon in Vegas.
Okay. All right, last one, Dan. Excluding the playoffs, the semifinals and then the finals of the playoffs, what do you think will be the best bowl games out there to watch?
Wow. Well, most people say it's a slam dunk with the Cotton Bowl because you got the USC Trojans, winners of the Pac-12, a hot team, trendy team, sexy team per se. If they would have expanded to eight teams, which people love bringing up to me in the holidays, and they would be a hot pick against the Ohio State Buckeyes, winners of the Big Ten that obviously just missed the spot. We're going to see if they want to make a statement. It's going to be tough against a great competition game with USC. This is a big-time matchup, two of the greatest programs ever. You got potentially Sam Darnold's last game. Maybe he comes back. He could be maybe the number one pick in the draft next year. And obviously, Ohio State could make a statement. We'll see if they want in Jerry Land. They can really run the football, maybe control the line of scrimmage, which is something that USC has struggled at throughout the season. So that's a big one. And obviously, the Fiesta Bowl, I think, could be pretty crazy as well between Penn State and Washington. Penn State's playing without their offensive coordinator. They've been able to move the ball with Saquon Barkley, but he struggled recently to run the football. And guess what? The Washington Huskies have the number one run defense in all of the land. So that's going to be a great matchup, I think, between Chris Peterson and James Franklin. So I'm really excited for all of the New Year's Six bowl games as well. But those two really stand out to me. Really looking forward to those. And then lastly, I would probably lean as my third and final, I'm going to go with the Alamo Bowl between Stanford and TCU to give Bryce Love about a month to prepare with that bum ankle and a nagging other injuries he's had throughout the year. Him to showcase in Texas against the Horned Frogs and Gary Patterson's defense, that could be a doozy where I think it comes down to the wire and maybe Love and Stanford make a final statement.
All right. Dan,
Dan.
I think when it gets close to those big bowl games, Dan, that you may have trouble sleeping. So.
Yes, I'm looking forward to them. It's always among my two or three favorite times of the sports year. I look forward to this time just as much as I do March Madness because I enjoy seeing these kids awfully. Could be potentially their last games played before potentially life after football or on Sunday. So we're looking forward to these games this weekend.
Hey, speaking of March Madness, before we let you go, college basketball about to get into really full swing. They've had their warm-up period now. So what team or teams do you think is going to be there at the end? If you had to pick two teams to play in the finals right now, I know it's early, but who would you put in the finals?
Wow, yeah, I'm really liking Villanova to be a one seed. I think they're going to take care of business in the Big East and really have a good seed, and potentially I think they're going to go at least to the Final Four, and I would say likely the national championship game, and I think they're going to potentially play a team like Duke or Michigan State. I'm kind of neck and neck. I got to see those two teams play, actually, at the United Center just past month ago. And Duke ran away with that game, but I think Michigan State always improves throughout the season. Duke's a very young team, but on paper, they're probably the most talented team with potentially five projected first-rounders for their starting lineup. So I would probably lean, you know, with Duke because I feel like the ACC losing gets the benefit of the doubt. And for me, at least, because they consistently win. So I'm thinking Duke 1, Nova 2, and Michigan State's not far behind. So those three have stood out to me so far.
Okay, good deal. Going to be a lot of fun. But
fair enough.
Before then, we got to get a football champion crown. So. Hey, Dan, it looks like the world traveler, Ronnie, will be gone next week. So if he's gone, I'll probably slip out for a day off, too. So. If we decide something different, I'll give you a call. If not, have a great Christmas, and maybe Santa Claus will bring you a bag of money or something. So.
You've got it. I appreciate you guys having me on, and we'll keep in touch. Happy holidays to you all.
Thanks, Dan.
Thanks,
you too.
Dan.
Have a great one.
All right. That's Mr. Dan Vasta from
Chicago, Illinois.
The Windy City.
The Windy City. That's right.
All right. If Jay will take us to a break, we've got a felon in here that we'll let talk about fishing here and get on a little early. So we'll be
you
right
say
back.
A fella or a felon?
Felon.
Oh.
No, I didn't say fella. Rex Chambers will be talking fishing.
That's
stay
right.
With us. Sports Talk Live 95.5. We'll be right back.
broadcasting from a transmitter as powerful as a hairdryer. Hey, we got it on high. This is Live 95, Cullman's Independent Radio, WRJMLP, Cullman.
You've thought about it. You've talked about it. You've even stared into the mirror dreaming about it. Well, now is the time, and Cullman Sports Fit is the place to get that body you've been wanting. Shaping Cullman since 1989, Cullman Sports Fit offers free weights and Cybex machines, treadmills, stair steppers, ellipticals, and an indoor track. Want to get wet? Take a swim in the indoor pool, whirlpool, or steam room. Cullman Sports Fit offers a variety of fun group classes too, like spinning, muscle pump, Zumba, cardio sculpt, or dance fit. Plus, Cullman Sports Fit has the area's only racquetball courts. And for seniors, Cullman Sports Fit is a proud provider of silver sneakers and silver fit, a seniors only exercise plan at little or no cost. Cullman Sports Fit Wellness Center, Highway 31 next to the Ag Center. For more information, visit CullmanSportsFit.com.
A chill is in the air. The leaves are falling. And that means the holidays are right around the corner. The holiday season is the best time to help out Cullman Charities while also getting that much-needed end-of-the-year tax break and maybe helping out your business as well. Consider sponsoring an hour of Christmas music with Live 95. Details are available on the Live 95 Facebook page, online at live95cullman.com, or email us at studio@live95cullman.com. Thanks for listening to Live 95. And we hope you have the best holidays ever.
Hey guys, let's face it. We all want to look our best, but with minimal effort, right? Well, that's where Angela at Scissor Salon comes in. She'll get you looking your best so you're always on top of your game. Walk-ins are always welcome. Scissor Salon, Highway 278 East, just past the water plant. 735-3089. 735-3089. Look for the big scissors on the roof.
Are you having trouble seeing your computer screen? Are the traffic signs looking a little fuzzy? Are the things that you used to be able to see looking just a little out of focus? Dr. Wayne Fuller has been helping Cullman see better for years, and he's still located on 2nd Avenue between the Catholic Church and Highway 278. You can call his friendly staff at 256-734-1121, and they'll be happy to get you seeing better, whether it's with contacts, glasses designed just for you, or a low-cost alternative to LASIK. Again, Dr. Wayne Fuller is available at 256-734-1121.
The following is a community announcement from Cullman's Live 95. Santa Claus is coming to town for Christmas at the Baileyton Senior Center, Saturday, December 16th from 5 until 7 p.m. Santa arrives at 5. Come and have your picture made with Santa free of charge. Plus, there'll be free hot dogs, hamburgers, drinks, and candy. Plus, gifts for the children and fruit bags will be given out. It's Christmas at the Baileyton Senior Center, Saturday, December 16th from 5 until 7 p.m. If you'd like to submit the community announcement to Live 95, send us an email to studio@live95cullman.com. This has been a community announcement from Cullman's Live 95.
Welcome back, Sports Talk Live. It is 5:26, and we got our old buddy in here, Mr. Rex Chambers. Got his frog togs on. I don't know if he's just come off the water or what, but he's in the studio with us, and we're glad he's here. Rex, how are you, man?
Peachy King.
Peachy King. Have you been on the water?
Not today. It wasn't yesterday when it was breezy.
You went yesterday?
Yeah. Yesterday was nasty.
Is that why your face is red?
Yeah.
You got wind burn?
A little wind burn, a little cold.
Man.
Today was just really super nice to go, but
it wasn't long ago, and I'm posting a picture of like 42 degrees. I'm like, yeah, I'm not going on any boat rides today. And Rex jumps on and goes, "Who said?"
I was there all day that day.
Oh man, hey Rex, I want to go back.
Not for all of us, Rex.
That's right. Hey, let me go back a couple of weeks, and I know you may have been here with Jason last week or talked with Jason. You had the tournament, the Black Friday tournament out of Waterfront. I correct me if I'm wrong. It was partners and I don't know who I know one of the partners, the guys that won it, was that Boyd Duckett and his partner won the tournament. Is that correct?
Well, the short story behind that is, see, the week before that, Boyd had to
film a TV show. There's a show that he does with a real good friend of mine named Jason Lambert, lives in Tennessee. It's called the Bass Doctor.
Yep, I watch it.
No, Jason and I are real close. And so Jason called me and said, "Hey," he said, coming down to film with Boyd." He said, "You don't eat fish?" I said, "Well, yeah." And so told him exactly where he's at. And then, now of course, too, now my tournament partner runs Boyd's boat dealership also.
Okay.
So him and Boyd's close.
Okay.
So yeah, so we're on some fish, and I put them on there, a week, 10 days ahead of time. And so we blast off after everybody else, right? We get to our starting spot. Guess who's sitting there? Boyd.
He did a horse laugh, you did.
I said, "You sorry so-and-so." But I knew he was going there. But, he did win. He and his partner beat us out by right out of half a pound. Now, during the day, short story, my phone shuts, a little message comes up that I got a Facebook message. So I look at it, and it says, "Hey, Boyd's truck is about to be towed from the parking lot. He has duck hunters blocked in." So we call Boyd and say, "Hey," and we're up close, fairly close to waterfront. Call Boyd, "Where you at?" He said, "I'm down here around All Reds." So your truck's fixing to get towed. He said, "Go handle it for me." So we take time out of our fishing day,
go back up there,
take the trailers. Actually, there's two trucks that had people blocked in. So we take the trailers loose from the trucks, move them out of the way, let the duck hunters get out.
You should just rolled them off the water.
I thought about it. And so after the weigh and everything, Boyd's ragging me about beating us. And I said, "No, wait a minute. You beat me by 8 ounces, and we had an hour and a half, and we couldn't fish." Right.
And you put him on the spot
and
to fish.
And then you're fishing place where we wanted to fish this. Anyway, but yeah, they did win. We got second. But
so actually, you won first and second.
Truth be known, yeah. Sorry, devil. Well, Boyd's a good guy. I would like one day for him and I to get along better, because we rag each other way too hard. But yeah, he's all right.
Oh man! And how many boats did you end up with, Rex?
Oh golly, we had over 30
boats.
Yeah, we had over 30.
And that's about how many years you've been doing that?
That was a fifth year. We get 2, 3, 4 boat more every year. So we started out with 10 or 12, and this boat. Number five, and we had I think it was just right under 40. I think it was about 34, 35. So
what was the final, if you remember, and I know that's been a couple of weeks, what was the final weight?
I was in the low 20s. Yeah.
Low 22,
and I think we had 21 something. So.
But that's pretty good. Is that about what you expected?
It was really good for the way Gunnersville's been fishing lately.
Okay, that's what I was going to ask you, because I think the last time you and I talked, you were telling that it was tough.
Hey, we didn't have 40 minutes left. And of course, we got to go in a little early and get things set up. But 40 minutes left, we had 5 little keeper fish that didn't weigh squats. We was about to throw them back and head on in to do the weigh in. And I tell my partner, I said, "Before we go in," I said, "let's make one cast on that very next little spot right there." Well, he makes the first cast and gets one over 6. And I make a cast behind him and get one over 6. And then another cast I make him and get one almost 5. So. We got lucky and just found them stacked up in one spot.
Wow. Okay, tournament's over. What'd you catch them on?
Swim bait. And actually finesse stuff.
And basically everybody out there was pretty much fishing the same type.
Most everybody caught them on A-rigs. I don't throw A-rig a lot.
Okay.
Swim baits, finesse worms.
Finesse worms and gunners.
Hey, it'll blow your mind. I mean, I can go right now and catch 50 fish in a day. Now, they're not all going to be 4 and 5 pounders. Don't get me wrong. But you can throw a finesse worm out there and get bit almost every cast.
Talking about fishing a finesse worm like you fish finesse worms at
a little shaggy head, quarter ounce shaggy head, and a finesse worm. Yeah, it's amazing.
Wow.
And mainly because you can get on some spots right now where you can just catch spot after spot after spot, spotted bass, and some of them are massive. I mean, we're catching 3 and 4 pound spots now.
Are they holding in certain areas?
Spotted place, off the deep points and the deep rock and. But sometimes you throw out there and you catch a spot, and then boom, you got a 6 pound largemouth. So it's amazing right now.
Wow. You got anybody you're taking out?
No, I'm good right now. Okay. I'm kind of laid back for the holidays. So.
Yeah.
Got a few days I can go out, though, when anybody wants to go.
Absolutely. You said you went yesterday. Tell me, where were you?
We were on Smith, another Brent Crow, another guy, you know, the guy that we help each other a lot. We tournament fish together. So he had a motor issue that he had to have fixed, and so we took his boat out yesterday to make sure everything was good, and we just fished all day, and it was breezy and cold.
Wow. The wind howled yesterday.
Oh, yeah, it was
rough. It was out of the north, too.
Yeah, it was rough.
Or the north-northwest.
I did get to try out. This is the first time I tried out this new Frog Tog jacket. It was pretty sweet.
What kind of grade would you give it?
It was A+. It really was. It makes you look like the old Michelin tire man, some little puffy jackets. By golly, it does get in the wind and cold.
I guess you got to fish about every spot that you preferred to fish, didn't you?
There was actually a few boats out there. There was actually some guys out filming a show yesterday. They were fishing in the entirely wrong spot.
What?
But if they had been over there by us, they'd have seen some good ones. But because I know for a fact they didn't catch maybe three fish all day.
Wow.
But yeah, there wasn't many boats out, but there was a few.
Wow.
No skiers.
I was going to ask that. Was what
there
I was
going to. No skiers and there were no sea dudes. No problem there.
Oh, man. But plenty of breezy white capping water,
I
guess.
You get on a good point with a jerk bait or a little swim bait and have fun, yeah.
Yeah. What's the water temp?
Low 50s, yeah. It's 53, 54.
Okay. It's getting down to close to 50 then.
Next, we have three or four more really cold nights. It's going to get down there right at 50.
Okay. Yeah. And so you're not looking or interested in taking anybody out here?
I got days open up till up to the middle of January. I got a few days open. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Then I start getting busy again, around January 19th, 20th.
Yeah. Okay. So if anybody does want to go, all they got to do is they can find you.
Find me on Facebook and or on the internet, smithlakebass.com.
Okay. All right, Rex, I know you got places you got to get to, but before I let you go, Jason and I talked about this earlier. We talked about it with a couple of our guests, and I'm just throwing this out at you. What is your opinion of the four-team playoff? Do you like it is? Would you like to see it changed, or have you really not really given it much thought? And that answer is okay, too.
No, I've always been for eight teams. Four works. Four is better than what it was.
Right.
And it's going to change eventually. We might be 10 years down the road, but it'll get to eight. Once you get past that seventh and eighth spot, ain't nobody got a complaint.
I agree.
Period. You look at all the problems, I was in total agreement with Alabama going across ahead of Ohio State.
Yeah.
I thought Ohio State was overranked all year long.
Right.
They proved that on the field with a 30-point loss.
Yep. And then they proved it, it probably didn't help them because they got in the playoffs last year and they got beat 31-0.
And look how bad they got embarrassed.
Right.
But now, should last year count toward this year? No.
No.
But it does. It stays in your mind.
Yeah, sure.
But it'll eventually get to eight teams. And like I said, everybody says, once you get past the four, nobody's got complaints. Well, yeah, you do.
With these kind of
records these teams are having, and until some other teams start playing better schedules, we're always going to have this problem.
Right. And certainly, I mean, I'm an Alabama fan, but put all that aside, let's look at Auburn, per se. And Jason, and I think you would, too. Early in the year, September, October, they weren't very good. But by the end of the year, I mean, it's obvious. They're a good football team. They're as good as anybody, they're as good as anybody and better than most right now. And
first of the year, they were during the headlights.
Yeah.
New quarterback, different scheme for a new quarterback. They played Clemson a great defensive game. Defense has been on spot all year long.
I agree.
The ones when they struggled against the, St. Mary's School or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
That was five turnovers in red zone.
Yeah.
That was a fluke.
Yeah. Mercer.
But still won. How many times can you turn the ball over five times and win a ball game?
Yeah.
But then I started getting better and better and better and better. And they got everybody coming back next year.
Yep. Brings me to this point. Jason and I talked about this a little bit earlier. Kerryon, do you think he comes back or you think he goes pro?
Kerryon comes back, but Kerryon's not going to play in the bowl game.
You don't think he's going to play in the bowl game?
No.
Okay. But Jason and I, we mentioned that earlier and we didn't.
He won't play. Neither will Petway.
Yeah.
Good luck, Auburn. better put it on the defense.
That's exactly right. So, my opinion was, I think he, and Jason was too, I believe I'm speaking with Jason, that he is going to come back. unless, you know, he gets some information.
He can fill out the draft. I mean, he can do a mock. He can put himself in the mock.
Exactly.
You know, if he's a first or second round, sure enough, he goes. I don't blame him a bit.
Absolutely.
But with his injury issues, I don't see it.
Yeah, and you're probably right. But
he'll have to play healthy for a whole year before anybody's going to put him in first. Hey, if he plays healthy for a whole year, he's one or two Heisman.
I think he's
top three.
Yeah, I think
next year.
I agree. I think he would, if he performs better next year, and he should, than he did this year, if he stay healthy, I think the sky's the limit. I certainly think he'll be one of the top three or four in New York.
He just got to stay healthy.
That's exactly right. All right, Rex. Hey, man, thanks for coming by. We appreciate it. I'm going to be gone next week. Jason doesn't know what's going on. So if we don't see you, have a great great Christmas.
Y'all too.
All right. Thanks, Rex. All right. Stay with us. It is 5:38 here at Sports Talk Live. We'll be back in just a minute. Again, thanks to our buddy Rex James for coming in.
A chill is in the air. The leaves are falling. And that means the holidays are right around the corner. The holiday season is the best time to help out Cullman Charities while also getting that much-needed end-of-the-year tax break and maybe helping out your business as well. Consider sponsoring an hour of Christmas music with Live 95. Details are available on the Live 95 Facebook page, online at live95cullman.com, or email us at studio@live95cullman.com. Thanks for listening to Live 95, and we hope you have the best holidays ever.
We've spent a lot of time on this. The investigation is finally over. We uncovered several leads, and we have finally found it. We have found what every small business in Cullman has been looking for. Fiber optic quality internet is here. Utilizing cutting-edge radio technology, Cyber Broadband is now able to offer fiber optic quality internet in the immediate downtown Cullman area and most Cullman industrial parks. More information is available by calling Cyber Broadband, 256-734-1077, 256-734-1077, or on the web at cyberbroadband.net.
Are you having trouble seeing your computer screen? Are the traffic signs looking a little fuzzy? Are the things that you used to be able to see looking just a little out of focus? Dr. Wayne Fuller has been helping Cullman see better for years, and he's still located on 2nd Avenue between the Catholic Church and Highway 278. You can call his friendly staff at 256-734-1121, and they'll be happy to get you seeing better, whether it's with contacts, glasses designed just for you, or a low-cost alternative to LASIK. Again, Dr. Wayne Fuller is available at 256-734-1121.
The following is a community announcement from Cullman's Live 95. Santa Claus is coming to town for Christmas at the Baileyton Senior Center, Saturday, December 16th from 5 until 7 p.m. Santa arrives at 5. Come and have your picture made with Santa free of charge. Plus, there'll be free hot dogs, hamburgers, drinks, and candy. Plus, gifts for the children and fruit bags will be given out. It's Christmas at the Baileyton Senior Center, Saturday, December 16th from 5 until 7 p.m. If you'd like to submit the community announcement to Live 95, send us an email to studio@live95cullman.com. This has been a community announcement from Cullman's Live 95.
Live 41, back with you, and in dark Thursday afternoon.
Yeah, it is. No doubt about it.
Hey, Ronnie, this just popped in my head, and I'm going to throw this to you. I meant to throw it at Chris probably Chris. But I'm going to give you some names of teams or coaches or something. It may even be politicians before I get through. Who knows? You tell me what it is that would be the best thing for Santa Claus to bring. The school or the coach or whoever I name. If you were Santa Claus, what would you bring?
Okay, so you put me on the spot.
Right.
How many tuitions would Gus's $7
million? Oh, man. It was
just wondering. I know you didn't really ask me, but, you know, I just thought I'd chime in.
Seven years, $49 million.
Yep.
That's $7 million per year. And Chris said something about Alabama not knowing what Nick Saban makes. Nick Saban makes 11.
Yeah, that's his pay's not 11. His pay's 8.5, and then his bonuses this year made 11.5.
Right. 11.5. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
But if Nick Saban don't even get up, he's going to make $8.5 million next year.
Yeah.
Now, Nick Saban is probably worth twice that, three times that to Alabama.
Look at their athletic department budget prior to Nick Saban and look at it now.
You know, and we say, you probably said it, I know I've said it, and everybody says it.
Yeah.
There ain't no coach football worth $7 million a year. Well, yeah, they are.
Yeah.
If you can, they can hire you for $7 million and you can make somebody $14, $15 million, you're worth it.
Yeah. At a minimum. $14-15 million. So, I mean, that's an easy hire right there.
Let's start out with Nick Saban. If you are Santa Claus, what are you taking Nick Saban for Christmas?
What am I taking Nick Saban for Christmas? I'm taking him a new defensive coordinator.
He needs one. Who do you think Alabama replaced Pruitt with?
Gene Chizik.
If that happens, you can not buy me all the steaks you owe me for this year.
I heard that today. Actually, I heard it about a week ago, and then I heard it again today.
He would probably be a pretty good one.
He'd be a great one, but we were talking about it at home, and I said, that is never, ever going to happen, because if Gene Chizik, in my opinion, if he comes to Alabama, he's going to run his defensive system the way he wants to, and that's never going to fly at Alabama. If you come to Alabama, you're going to run Nick Saban's defense.
Right.
Or Nick Saban's going to run his own, basically.
And Alabama people would freak out just for the fact that Chizik had been an Auburn football coach.
But I did hear that. I'd be all for it. I like him.
Yeah.
I think he's a great defensive coordinator.
Yeah, he's a good coordinator, just not a head coach. Yeah,
just didn't work out for him there.
Speaking of which, Kevin Steele, was up for the Tennessee job at one time. They actually talked to him.
And I thought they might hire him. Yeah. He played at Tennessee. But
who in their right mind would hire him again as a head coach?
Well,
after the
that's true.
The,
you know,
Baylor
Baylor fiasco.
He won
was
one
bad.
Conference game in three or four years.
Yeah, it was bad. And Jason, they're talking about the Tennessee situation and talking about Alabama needed to bring Nick Saban a defensive coordinator. And I know you've heard the same kind of rumblings that I've heard about now that Phil Fulmer is, by some chance, he is now the AD at Tennessee. The scuttlebutt going around was, he basically sabotaged the guy who was there as the AD with all those hires, and come to find out, he was the assistant AD when they got rid of Philip Fulmer. So, It doesn't pass that smell test. I'm not accusing anybody.
I had heard he was doing that before.
Before
the entire,
he came down.
Yeah, the entire time that guy's trying to hire a coach, Fulmer's in the background fighting against him.
I heard the same thing too. So
Fulmer is a snake. I mean, you think what you want to of him, but he's a snake. If you are Santa Claus, what are you going to take Phil Fulmer?
What am I going to take? What is Phil Fulmer going to get for Christmas if I'm Santa Claus? I'm going to get him probably an Academy Award.
Academy Award.
Yeah. He goes from fired football coach to now the athletic director who makes the decision who the next football coach is going to be.
Which could be the same route Tommy Tuberville is going to take at Auburn. So.
Oh, my gosh.
I don't think that'll happen.
I don't think that'll happen. Have you heard anything?
Nothing.
Nothing. It's awful quiet.
Yep.
Okay.
Worst nightmare could be, and it wouldn't surprise me at all if they'd named Pat Dye as athletic director.
Well, some would be thrilled, and some would be, that ship has sailed. He needs to get on it.
Yeah, long ago.
Absolutely.
If you are Santa Claus, what are you bringing? Oh, let's see, the Ole Miss Rebels.
I'm going to bring them plenty of Kleenexes. There's going to be a lot of.
I'm going to bring some fans.
I'd bring them a busload of fans. Because they're sure not going to have any. Boy, the you talk about falling off the map.
Yeah.
There when Hugh Freeze was hook, crook, whatever you want to say about Hugh Freeze. He got the hook. But, you know, he had it going on there for a couple of years. And now, you know, they had already punished themselves by giving up 11 scholarships. And the NCAA said, no, that's not quite good enough. It's going to cost you 13 more. You're talking about a recruiting class, essentially.
Yeah, and I said,
and then your
Patterson leaves.
And that was their, I mean, that was their, to me, their single hope left was Shea Patterson to stay, and now he's headed to Michigan. So I don't think I'll be going out on the limb when I say Ole Miss will be over in the conference play next year.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me at all. And we talked about while we were talking with, was it Dan, that we kind of thought Ole Miss underachieved on their hire. I mean, it may turn out to be great for them, and it may have been the only person that was interested in
that. Yeah, I would like to know who else. But they may have even interviewed. I don't know. But they probably that was the safest hire. You know, he's probably, and maybe this wording isn't the best, he's probably going to be the sacrificial lamb, just like what Mike Shula was.
Right.
And he'll sit there till they get through this probationary period. They'll fire him and then try to bring somebody up then.
And, you know, overall, people, Shula has been give a hard time, but overall, he didn't do that bad a job at Alabama.
No, he really didn't. And,
considering the circumstances.
You know, and while he was there, I mean, essentially, I mean, they basically got the death penalty, or as close as you get to it, you know, and not get the death penalty. So I think he's in the same boat as Shula was in.
I don't want you to explain something else. I'm going to look up some information that's going to blow your mind if you don't already know this information that I'm going to share in a minute.
All right, I'm going to ask you a question.
Let me ask you this one.
Okay.
And then this is one you're going to have to think about. You may want to answer it later. Explain to me why everybody you hear, radio, and Dan named it, I think. Mm-hmm. I think Chris may have even said something about it. Is named the hire of the year to the Florida Gators for hiring Dan Mullins. I admit, he got Mississippi State.
He did a great job.
Number two. But if you go back and look at his wins and losses at Mississippi State, he had about the same record as the other Mississippi State coaches.
Yeah. I'm with you. Was it a good hire for them? Yeah. Is he familiar with that area? Yes. The key is, you know, will he be able to recruit well? Probably. But I don't think it's a, you know, knocked it out of the park, grand slam, won the World Series hire.
No.
But I think it's a good hire. I think the hire that's knocked it out of the park, grand slam hire, has nothing to do with really this, well, it does too, with this season. But I think the grand slam hire was for Nebraska to get Scott Frost.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to give the guy some credit that he inherits a football team that is an ofer, didn't win a game. And this year they're undefeated in a major bowl game against Auburn. Let me ask you this. Bowl game, we all know, you know, are they that important? Do the kids get up to play in them? Blah, blah, blah. This is going to be real simple. Who's got the most to gain, who's got the most to lose in that game?
No, there ain't no doubt.
Yeah, it's simple, isn't it?
Yeah, it would not shock me at all if Auburn loses.
What if UCF beats Auburn? Now, how much?
You know what? If they do, I won't lose a wink of sleep.
No, and most people won't, but you know as well as I do, they're going to start tearing Gus up again.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, he could probably, it's probably easier to take now that he's signed a new contract.
Yeah, he can buy a lot of butt cream. <huh? laughs>
Oh, my
God. Hey, Mike Shula, Ronnie,
this
was in 2003.
Okay.
He was hired May 2003 after the termination of Mike Price.
Yep. Who didn't coach again?
Yeah. Mike Shula was given a six-year contract worth, you ready for this? $5.4
million. 6 years, $5 million.
So Nick Saban is making twice that in 1 year. 6 years. This is 2003, 14 years ago. Year, $5.4 million.
You know, this might be something we check in. I wonder what the average salary was at that in 2003. 6 years, $5 million. Wow.
He coached through 2005. In 2005, they went 10-3, and he was given a contract extension back to 6 years, and his pay was raised to $1.8 million a year. So effectively, probably doubled his pay right there, though. So
he is a head coach. He wasn't making much more than the defensive coordinator, right, because Pruitt was making $1.1
million. Right. That
unbelievable.
I don't know if he was underpaid at that time. I can't imagine a coach at Alabama being that underpaid. So I imagine they were right in the thick of
things. If that is true, the salaries, there's been an absolute explosion, hasn't there?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it.
And with no end in sight. Wow. My goodness.
552.
Yep.
Get your opinion on one thing, then you can throw whatever you want to. Did you happen to catch the New England Patriots?
No. I have not watched.
Fall off the map.
I have not watched one quarter of a NFL game this entire season. I will not watch.
Come on, run.
I will not watch any NFL. I won't watch the Super Bowl. I won't watch the playoffs. I won't watch any of it.
Because of the flag?
Yep.
Come on, Ronnie.
I'm telling you, I hadn't watched any. I couldn't tell you a single score. I couldn't tell you how many games anybody's won. No clue. It's just like I live in a foreign country.
So you are not aware that the Denver Broncos are leading their division?
No, I am not.
They're not. They have just broke the losing streak. So after Manning left, they have fell off the map. I'm talking about the Broncos.
No,
are.
I haven't watched any. What was you going to tell me about it, though?
Oh, the Patriots have been beating everybody's lights out.
Okay.
And they play the Dolphins Monday night. And like an 11-12 point favorite, I think. They got
waxed.
Hammered, I'm telling you.
Well, good for them. Yeah, they're cheaters anyway.
Yeah.
They're cheaters anyway. But no, I haven't watched any. Now, here's the only thing I do know. The Oakland Raiders and somebody played in Mexico. Okay?
Yep.
The Mexican national anthem, Marshawn Lynch, who is a running back with the Raiders, stood. Then when they played the American national anthem, he knelt. Not much to be said there, is there?
Not much.
So I don't watch any.
Let me catch you up, Ronnie. In the AFC East, New England, it leads the pack, 10-3. Second is Buffalo, 7-6.
I'm not Buffalo?
Going to all of them, yeah. And in the back of that division, New York Jets, 5-8. Right. The North in the AFC, Pittsburgh at 11-2 this year, followed by Baltimore at 7-6. And last in that division, nobody else but the Cleveland Browns, 0-13 after winning one game last season. So the AFC South.
They couldn't get in the 14 playoff in college, could they?
Oh, gosh, no. The AFC South, and this one is going to surprise you if you've not been watching NFL.
No.
Jacksonville Jaguars lead the division at 9-4, followed by the Tennessee Titans.
Brave.
The Colts are last in that division, 3-10. The AFC West, Kansas City, 7-6, followed by the L.A. Chargers. And that's still hard to get used to.
L.A. Chargers.
Denver is last in the division at 4-9.
Boy, how times change, don't they, in the world of the NFL?
Now, swap over to the NFC East, and probably the best team in the NFL up until their quarterback got hurt, the Philadelphia Eagles. 11-2.
Yeah. I did hear that Carson Wentz tore an ACL.
Yep, and he is out.
Yeah. I did hear that.
Followed by Dallas, 7-6. In the back of the pack, the New York Giants. And did you hear that the Giants were going to sit Manning?
I did hear that. But I also heard then they turned around and fired their head coach,
yep,
too.
Yeah, they did.
So.
And what does that say when a coach can't start who he wants to, you know?
Take the money and run.
Yep. The NFC North, led by the Minnesota Vikings, 10-3, last in the division. Chicago Cubs, not Cubs.
Bears. The Chicago Cubs should be last in the NFL.
That's the first thing that comes to my mind anytime you say Chicago's the Cubs.
Oh, man. I think you're getting shot.
NFC South.
Chicago.
Who do you think is leading the NFC South? I'll give you the list of four teams, and you tell me the leader.
The Falcons.
Nope.
I don't know.
The New Orleans Saints.
The Saints.
9-4. Well, actually, it is a tie, but New Orleans has got the tiebreaker because they beat them twice.
You know, Sarkisian is, I do know, he's the offensive coordinator with the Falcons.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Carolina, 9-4.
Yeah.
Atlanta, 8-5. Tampa Bay, 4-9.
Tampa Bay.
The last one, the NFC West, the L.A. Rams, 9-4. Followed by Seattle, last in division, San Francisco, 3-10.
That's where Reuben Foster plays.
Now you are caught up on the NFL. Oh,
that's all I needed to know. Hey, and I'm going to catch, hey, we've got about 2 or 3 minutes, Jason. I'm going to catch you up right here. We're going to switch back to college football. I'm going to give, you know, it's that time of the year where we're getting into recruiting season and signing. And I'm going to give you the top 10 of the recruiting class, and then it'll probably be about time for us to wind it up and get out of here, okay? You ready?
Do it.
All right. Now, at number 10, this one may surprise you, but I don't think it will end up this way. Sitting in the 10th position in recruiting for the 2018 class, Alabama Crimson Tide, number 10.
Last time I heard, Ronnie, they were not even in the top 10.
Okay. So
when it comes down to the end, things are
changing.
Oh, yeah. They're going to move up.
They're sitting at number 10. Number 9 is the Clemson Tigers. Number 8 is the Auburn Tigers. Number 7 is Notre Dame. Number 6 is Oklahoma. Number 5, Penn State. Number 4, Georgia. Number 3, Miami. Number 1, Texas. And sitting right now, the number 1 recruiting class belongs to the Ohio State Buckeyes as of right now. Hmm. And that is the recruiting class as we know it. Again, that is the top 10. Just so I'll throw this one out to you because we've been talking so much about Tennessee. Tennessee sits at number 40.
Number 40.
And they have dropped 18 spots. Because
it's not going to get better anytime soon.
They had some stars, a couple of stars coming in there at quarterback, and once there's a coaching change, they are not going to Rocky Top. So Tennessee has dropped 18 places in the recruiting wars, sitting at 40. Mm-mm. That won't get you many wins in the SEC, will it?
Well,
all right,
let's get it out of here. Let's tell everybody we will not be here next Thursday more than likely. So
I know Ronnie, I won't be here.
Ronnie is the world traveler, so every other week he's got to go somewhere.
Oh, and let me say this. Jason texted me today. It's kind of funny, but you know, with the program we got coming up, you know, about health and, you know, taking care of yourself. 1 year ago today, Jason had a heart attack.
Yes, I did.
And we are thrilled that 1 year later we're still able to sit here and have a lot of fun with one another. It is obvious that he did lose. There was oxygen that was cut off to his brain for an extensive period of time.
Yeah.
Oh, come on.
But 1 year ago today, Jason had a heart attack. But thank God he's still here.
Thank you. And I would like to say 1 year ago today, I did have that heart attack, but I feel fine. I've not had any more problems since then. So
fantastic.
As long as my wife don't bother me too bad, I'm fine. All right.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to everyone. And if we don't talk to you again before then, Happy New Year. Everybody be safe and have a great holiday. Enjoy yourself. Sports Talk Live, 95.5 Coleman.
Live 95 is